Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're in the ninth of a series of messages in regarding the flesh, the dealing with the ourselves, the flesh. All right, let's start.
Summary. The first point in dealing with the flesh is that we must know what the flesh is and sense the flesh within us. In spiritual experience, all dealings are based on our knowledge and all spiritual experience with our sense regarding that very matter.
Right. In order for us to know what the flesh is, we have to read the Word. And by the Word, we receive knowledge. And with the knowledge, we'll be able to know the power that lives in us. And also, we are able to know what lies in our flesh. We are also able, by the knowledge of the wisdom and knowledge of the Bible, to know how to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Amen? Is to get more of the Spirit in us. That's just in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
So I didn't come up with anything new. Just telling you what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
So knowledge is very important. Right? But then what?
The amount or the degree to which we have attained in our knowledge will be the exact degree to which we will be able to deal with our flesh.
Right. The more knowledge we get, the higher degree of ability to deal with the flesh will be. Amen?
Amen.
And to walk in the Spirit. Just get the Spirit, in other words, bring the cross of Christ, the same cross where Christ died, where he crucified the old man of sin. He became sin there and allowed sin, that old serpent, the devil, which he became for that moment, for our sakes, because we are possessed with the devil before he did that, and so Christ became the serpent, the old devil, and he allowed himself to be nailed to the cross on our behalf. And so there is the check. We are, there's no way that we, because we were born in sin, conceived in sin, shaped in sin, and there's nothing that we could do about it until Christ died, allowed himself to be nailed to the cross in our stead, and then at the cross all the wonderful things happen. We go there and we can be forgiven for our sins. The blood of Jesus at the cross washes us completely clean from sin. And at that time the Spirit of God enters us right there at the cross and resurrects us from a life, the old life of sin, unto the spiritual realm, where Jesus and sits in heavenly places, and we then, because he enters us, are sitting there by the Spirit with him. You understand that? Okay, so that's knowledge to know that, you know. So all the beautiful things that we achieve, our death and our resurrection, happen at the cross. And that's why the Lord instructed me to make a cross which has the 12 stones of the New Jerusalem in it, because it's a very good conversational piece, and it happens to be something that people are going to ask you, what? I've never seen a cross with all the 12 stones in it. What do those 12 stones represent? You tell them it's the New Jerusalem. That means that's the Church of God. Each one of us, each one of the stones, the millions of stones in the New Jerusalem represent a saint. Each one of us is a saint. And this is why the Lord gave me that idea to put that together. So we're all saints and we're all different lively stones, the Bible says, in the New Jerusalem, which is the Church of God, the Bride of Christ, and we're all going to attend the marriage supper of the Lamb very soon. Amen?
Amen.
So why the sparkling, all the different stones? God is a very glitzy God. Amen?
Amen.
Look up in the sky, you'll see the twinkling stars. It looks like diamonds in the sky, and the sun and the moon, and look at all the beautiful flowers, all the different colors, and the colors of the rainbow. God is a glitzy God. And so I can't wait to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
The thoroughness and depth of our dealing is according to our knowledge and sense in this matter.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if we wish to have a real deep experience in dealing with the flesh, we need to have a clear knowledge and sense of the flesh.
But the Bible says that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't say, Paul never said, in me dwelleth no good thing, but in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Because his spirit that's been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb lives in him. And also the Spirit of God lives in him, mingled with the Spirit, his own Spirit. And the resurrected, his Spirit is now resurrected, but his flesh. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God mortifies the deeds of the flesh and keeps our spirit, our soul, saved if we walk in the Spirit. But if we don't, there's no exception to the rule. No one can be saved if they disregard the knowledge of the Word of God, of the flesh, and of the Holy Spirit, and how to mortify or kill the flesh by the carrying of the cross, which is the same as the Holy Spirit. The cross is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to abstain from sin and to abstain to totally consecrate ourselves away from the world. All right? And then what? That's the knowledge of the Word of God. And I can't say it enough. Finally, after saying it for about 7 years, finally the other preachers are starting to say, not this, but they're saying, you know, that the Spirit of the Lord has to live in you. I know that a lot of these top evangelists never spoke that before. They just said, well, you know, the Spirit of the Lord will come down and, you know, and bless us. But I was so blessed in the service because the Spirit of God came down. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is in us. Amen?
Amen.
And finally they got that. Right?
Right.
You remember, they never said that before. All right. Now, I want them to say these things. Okay? The Lord wants them to say it. Okay, what else?
The meaning of the flesh has three aspects. Namely, the corrupted flesh, the whole fallen man, and the aspect of man's good.
No, it doesn't make any difference whether you do good or evil. If it's not done in the Spirit, it's still not good. It's not of the Lord. There's a lot of good things that people call good that are not. That's just from your own idea of what is good and what you've been told that is good. But it is of no value whatsoever unless it's done by the Holy Spirit. I talk more about that in the 10th version of this series. All right. Okay, then what?
It is easy for us to discern the flesh as the corrupted body. That is, the corrupted aspect of the flesh. Therefore, the first stage in our dealing with the flesh is more in this aspect. It's easy. But as we go on with the Lord, we need to have a more rounded or a deeper knowledge and dealing concerning the other two aspects of the flesh. Not only must we know that sinning, losing our temper at God, and doing other evil things are of the flesh.
And what I mean by losing our temper at God is losing our temper at what the Lord tells us to do. At being, because a lot of people thought that Jesus lost his temper when he fashioned a whip and beat the money changers out of the temple and turned their tables upside down. Or when God, they say he lost his cool when he poured out his wrath on the world and drowned everybody and on the homosexuals, the lesbians, and the bisexuals. Bisexuals meaning that they're like gates, they swing both ways. Okay, read that line again.
Not only must we know that sinning, losing our temper at God, and doing other evil things are of the flesh, but we should also realize that even the matter of worshiping and serving God, plus the matter of godliness, can also be full of the flesh.
That's right. Because some people just think if they have these concerts and or they are giving money to different charities that really are not serving the Lord, even if they are serving the Lord, and it is that maybe we can't tell what's in the heart of the people that are really serving the Lord, or if they're not, they have churches, and maybe the Lord has got them under some kind of chastisement and doesn't want you to raise money for them. And then because of the fact that all the people in the world are noticing you, and they say, well, we think that you should be doing something for them, you know, and or getting them something. Just like the people in Africa, they needed water wells, you know. And so I said, Lord, it's obvious that these people are being chastened because they're Muslims and everything else. If you're cursing them, I certainly don't want to bless them. So you're going to have to tell me one way or the other. I know that people will think I'm great if I buy a bunch of water wells for them or a bunch of food and buy trucks to cart the food here and there and send it overseas. But is that what you want me to do? If you're trying to curse somebody and I'm going in there to help them out, that I'm going to look like a godly person and you're going to hate me for it? Well, the average carnal person would think, what kind of a person am I saying this? Because they don't believe, they can't believe in spiritual things. It's foolishness unto them because they're carnal. But the Lord has told me, go ahead and send them this amount and this amount here and there. Because I want this particular ministry to know that you are a person that just doesn't think of your own ministry, because there's been those conversations out, and that I really, the good in my flesh wanted to do it, but I still have to check with the Holy Spirit to see if it's of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Is what I'm saying. Okay, go ahead.
Plainly, whatever we do must be the outcome of our touching the Lord and the Spirit while in fellowship.
And while in fellowship with Him. We can't just say, oh, gosh, I see this need over here, or there's this poor person on the street, and they're just, you can see that they need clothes, they got holes in their shoes and stuff like that, and the person is just maybe murdered, so you don't know. Maybe God's just really cursed them, you know. And I've run into people where it says, no point are you praying for me, brother. God has cursed me. I've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord told me, get away from them. And they look like they could use a lot of help. But if they've cursed the Lord on this side of eternity, there's no forgiveness for that here or in eternity. And so the Lord said, get away from them. And they even know that. A lot of people know when the Spirit has departed from them. Okay, go ahead.
Plainly, whatever we do must be the outcome of our touching the Lord and the Spirit while in fellowship.
While in fellowship with Him.
With Him. And we must do it by trusting in God.
And we have to trust Him completely, that when He communicates to us what He wants us to do, we have to really know that it's Him. I won't do anything unless I know it's Him. It has to be Him. And when I know it's Him, I have to trust Him to do what He says for me to do. Just like the time when He told me to take off, get out of that place in Las Vegas. Just like when He told me to go ahead and pay $5,000 a week for the generator over here in this little town in Arkansas. And we were just under, like, siege. Siege meaning that when people are under siege, they don't let you go out of the city to get food or water. They don't let you have anything. I mean, they boycott you every kind of way there is, and that's what they were doing in this town. Yeah, they were writing in the newspaper different people's opinions in the town. They says, get him out, we'll kill him, and all this kind of stuff. But as soon as I paid for the generator, because nobody had water or lights for a month. It was around about a month. And I did that, and all of a sudden I became the town hero. And I just did it because the Lord said to, I did it against what my flesh wanted to do, but I did what the Spirit said. Now to me, that was, I thought it was evil to do such a thing as that, to teach them a lesson, don't you mess with me, mon. Okay? But then when the Lord says, no, you go ahead and do it. And when I did, well, we've had the peace that passes understanding in this city. Amen?
Amen.
It's just beautiful here now. All the people are nice, and they come to our church, and it's just beautiful. Okay? A lot of the important people in town. There's still some people that they're kind of, you know, given, are not happy, but they realize that we're the ones that got the juice turned on in their house and got them water when they couldn't even flush their toilets or take a bath or take a shower. And they had little children and old people in there. And, you know, that, as the Lord says, overcome evil by good, doing good. Amen?
Amen.
And so, boy, I really learned that scripture came to pass. And what a scripture that is, you know, to follow. When that happened, I didn't realize that all kinds of things were going on. The newspaper came out, not because of that, but the mayor went and told them about it. So they lined all these guys up that were hooking up the generator. They took pictures of that, and they took pictures of the town fathers and mothers over there standing by this great big old generator on a flatbed. And it was in the newspaper, and the guy from the newspaper came and interviewed me, and I said, look, I never called. He said, I know. The mayor called me and said that, you know, that some of the people in town, their hearts were broken because of the evil way they treated you people, and now here you are doing this kind thing for them, and the people in Texarkana just were amazed, you know, that we did that for them. And that's because before I did it, I checked with the Lord, and he said, yes. I said, but Lord, $5,000 a week? Yes, do it. Okay, but we did it, and it's just nice now, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. So listen to the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Communicate to the Lord. Amen? Because you might be caught in a situation where I'm not around and no telephones to ask me what to do. But you don't need an earthly telephone. All you need is a telephone to the Lord, amen?
Yeah.
And it's toll-free, amen?
Yeah.
It's a toll-free call to the Lord, right? You don't have to pay any money to get up there, right?
Right.
To talk to the Lord, he's there. Some people say, well, yeah, every time I go up there, he puts me on hold. Yeah. Well, that's probably because you're not keeping the commandment, you're not walking in the Spirit, amen?
Yeah.
You ever think about that? Don't blame it on God, it's you. And when you study the scriptures, you'll understand more by the knowledge that you get from the Bible of that what you're doing wrong, what's wrong with your flesh, and why you're not able, why the Spirit doesn't come down and fellowship with you. God is the Spirit. And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and according to His Word, truth. So that means you must do what His Word says. That's truth. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Otherwise, no matter how good it is, we must still condemn it as something of the flesh.
Yeah, if you're just doing something out of the kindness of your heart. Because the Lord might want you to direct money or favor somewhere else. And it's the last person I ever thought the Lord would tell me to give $5,000 to a week. To the people of this town that close the grocery store of the brothers and the sisters and turn their lights out and took their beaters away, took the water away. My God, I've never seen anything so cruel. But they do that to Christians. Well, everything, so we walk in the Spirit, and Just look at us now. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The second point in dealing with the flesh is that we must know the position of the flesh before God.
Yeah, how we stand. Are we really, our flesh still rises, is Satan still in our flesh rising up every day? Do we still get jealous? Do we get angry at the brothers and sisters for no reason at all? Or we manufacture things? Is Satan able to use your head as a complaint box, you know, to drop complaints into your mind? We got something to be angry about, the things of the Lord? Maybe he's putting your flesh through some trials here, as he did the children of Israel out on the desert, to try to break your spirit and to break your flesh, and you're upset about it. And that's no good, to be upset at the Lord, to be angry at him, like Jonah sat up on the hill and God prepared a whale to swallow him, and prepared a gourd so that he could have some shade, and prepared a worm to eat the gourd. And the whole book is left five different things he prepared for him in there. So in that book, and then at the end it ends with a Christian question from God: should I not be concerned of all these people of this city that don't know their left hand from their right? Amen?
Amen.
They don't know how to go in and go out. Shouldn't I be concerned about their souls? They're my people. I created them out of the dirt of the ground. And to this day in Nineveh, which is Iraq, there's still a hill there that is called the Hill of Jonah. It's still there. I mean, it's a very well-known hill in Iraq. Those people repented. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right, let's go.
We must receive light from the Bible to see how the flesh resists God and is in enmity toward God.
But read it again.
We must receive light from the Bible to see how the flesh resists God and is in enmity toward God.
Light from the Bible means direction on how to walk. Okay. Then what?
We also need to see how the mature nature of the flesh is incompatible with God, the Spirit, how God rejects it and considers it abominable, and how he has determined to exterminate it and have no coexistence with it.
God will not coexist with your decaying, rotten, filthy flesh. Now, you may think your flesh is somebody. And truly, it is a body, but it's in nothing. There isn't anything in it that the Lord likes. Okay? You may look at me in the mirror and flirt with yourself, right? But the Lord is not going to flirt with you, your flesh at all. Okay? And you make up in the mirror, comb your hair, and put on lipstick and eyebrow pencil. And paint your toenails and nails and, you know, put on rings and everything. Hey, Lord doesn't go for that stuff. Amen?
Amen.
It's not against it, but just learn the Bible and see what the Lord hates about your and my flesh. It's nauseating to him. Okay, what else? Then what?
This revelation will cause us to see as God sees, condemn what God condemns, and annihilate what God annihilates.
Yeah, because it's left up to us to annihilate it. We are the ones that have to bring the cross into us. It's our responsibility. Okay, then what?
Then we will ask and seek release from the flesh, cooperate with God the Spirit, and let His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, put our flesh to death. The third point in dealing with the flesh is that we must know the relationship and difference between the flesh and the old man. We should see that the old man, or our old I, or me, is the real being...
Or self. I, me, or self. Okay, what is the real what?
Is the real being of the flesh, and that the flesh is the expression of the old man, or the old I, or me, or self.
That's why I say when you look in the mirror, you're looking at the old man. And that old man has to be totally overpowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So don't flirt with the old man. Or don't paint him up and think you're something because you do. It's all right. I'm not against makeup, as I've clearly stated before. Okay, then what else? Some of you need it. Then what else?
When the old man, or our old I, meaning our self, is being lived out in our experience, it is the flesh. Therefore, dealing with the flesh is entirely a matter of experience, that of dealing with the old man in a practical way. The fourth point in dealing with the flesh is that we must know the dealing itself. The dealing consists of two aspects, the objective fact and the subjective experience.
That's our object, and then we have to subject ourselves to make the object come to pass. Our objective or our goal has to be met, and it's got to be, we have to be subject to God's word in order for it to happen. Then what?
Both aspects are equally needed. Neither one can be neglected.
You must desire, it must be your object, your goal to do it, and then you have to do it. You have to subject yourself. Okay, then what?
The aspect of the objective fact is what God has accomplished for us in Jesus.
Right. He crucified the old man. You don't have to do that. You just have to crucify the flesh. And how do we do that? By God, His Holy Spirit living in us. Amen? So really, you're not doing anything except putting yourself under subjection. Just obedience. Understand? Okay, then what?
The aspect of the objective fact is what God has accomplished for us in Jesus, while the subjective experience requires our cooperation with God in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, we just have to cooperate and just obey. Amen?
Yeah.
Did Saul cooperate? Did the homosexuals, lesbians, and the bisexuals cooperate? When they don't, they get burnt. So weak if we don't cooperate. Then what?
After we realize these four basic points in dealing with the flesh, we will have the experience of dealing with the flesh. The procedure of our experience in dealing with the flesh begins with a deeper longing and seeking for the spiritual realm, the spiritual things of God. Once we love the Lord and pursue after Him, we naturally long that we may have a deeper life in the Lord, and that the Lord would live in us in a deeper way. But in practice, our desire often is frustrated and we fail. What we desire, we cannot do. But what we do not desire, we do.
Right, because we're not yet walking after the Spirit. Once a person crucifies their flesh by the Spirit, then we can't do anything. Apart from me, with my Spirit, the Lord says, we can do nothing. So it has to be total subjection unto the Holy Spirit, which mortifies the flesh and the deeds thereof. Amen? And then what? That's so simple. I wonder why people strain, they get furrows on their brow trying to, like it's a deep subject. No, it's not. It's simple, but you just have to do it. Just subject yourself. Now, if the governor came into town, you'd definitely subject yourself unto him if he came into your house. Well, the Lord came into his house, which is your body, and you have to, believe that he sees everything and that he's living in you in order for you to be able to have the power that he says you have. By the knowledge of the Word of God, he says that you have all the power that he had when he was here in the human flesh. But very few Christians believe that. And so, or they have the knowledge of it. They believe they're saved, some of them. And they believe that they can get away with murder, some of them, which is a false belief. Amen? But they don't believe that they have the same power, and that this power is given to them by receiving the Spirit, the cross, into him. Now, that's the first thing the Lord says after you get saved. It says, okay, now you're saved. Now deny yourself and take up the Spirit and follow me. In other words, take up the cross and follow me and go and sin no more. You can't go and sin no more by holding within your flesh. You have to walk in the Spirit. You have to take up the cross and apply the cross that Christ had Christ cross himself and place it inside you, mortify the body by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Always just stay at the cross. Cling on to the cross. Yes, I'll cling to the old rugged cross. Amen?
Amen.
That means just I'll cling to the Holy Spirit. Amen? I'll stay resurrected. That's what it means. Amen?
Amen.
Till my trophies at last I lay down. Yes, I'll cling to the old rugged cross. And what else?
Exchange it one day for a crown.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Okay, that's what it means to crucify your flesh and to carry the cross, is just cling to the Holy Spirit. So simple. Amen. That's why people lose their souls, because of the simplicity of the gospel. They just can't believe it's that simple. But they say it's so hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so hard to just abstain from the world. Well, because you're not reading the scriptures enough. You're not surrendering yourself unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's hard, but the Lord says, just do what he says. Do the work that I say, because his work is what? Easy and light. Amen?
Yes.
So the reason it's so hard is because you're pulling in the opposite direction as the Spirit. Surrender yourself unto the Lord. Okay? Don't let the cross be something that you're frightened of. It's your very salvation. Amen?
Yes.
And the salvation of others. So just cling to the old rugged cross, the Spirit of God. And you've got it. That's all there is to it. Okay, then what?
The result of our repeated failures is that we are brought to the place of total misery and despair. Although we often seek the Lord's deliverance, we cannot find the way of deliverance.
But Jesus said, I am the way, and he's the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
He became a quickening spirit. Or I really say the quickening spirit, the life-giving spirit. Okay, so that's the life-giving spirit is the way. The life-giving spirit is the truth. The way, the truth, and the life-giving spirit is the life. Amen?
Yeah.
How simple. But you just have to surrender yourself to the Word of God and to swim in it. Because the Word of God is spirit and it's life. And it's the way. And it's the truth. Then what? And the Word of God is Jesus. What more can I say? Then what?
At this time, the Holy Spirit gradually reveals that the reason for failure is that we live in the flesh.
Yeah, you don't pay any attention to the Word of God. You never surrender to it. Okay, then what?
The thing which hinders us most from a deeper mingling of our spirit with the Lord's Spirit and hinders the Lord from living more deeply in us is our flesh.
is our desire to live according to the things of the world, is to live according to who we think is the greatest worldly singer or worldly actor or actress, that our minds are on them like idol worshippers, instead of who is the greatest of all. Amen?
Amen.
It's the Holy Spirit, because it's going to kill those rotten, evil, nothing thoughts. Or who's the greatest football player, basketball player, baseball, and all the other junk in the world. What good is it going to do for Mickey Mantle to stand up before the Lord or Babe Ruth, you know, and say, I play bull. Or this Jamal, or whatever his name, that plays basketball. I don't even really know their names. Michael Jordan. And I know how to dribble, Lord. And the Lord said, I know how to burn, too. And then what else?
At the same time, the Holy Spirit shows us how filthy, corrupt, evil, and wicked our flesh is. Not to mention the evil aspect of our flesh, even what we ordinarily consider as good, is also full of the element of man and of ourself.
Flesh, yes. Then what?
Our flesh, the good as well as the evil, is condemned by God and unacceptable to Him. When we have seen this, we will naturally, in the light of the Holy Spirit...
Because the flesh wants to do good, but it can't. Okay, so that's the good in the flesh. It wants to do good. But, you know, how could anything that you want that you can't do be of any value? Amen?
Amen.
I might want to be, you know, an orange. The reason I said that, I saw it on the space saver there, you know, just now. It looks like the sun, but it's an orange. It looked like an orange. I can't be an orange. I have to be a Christian, amen? I have to be mortified. I have to be in the spiritual realm. Okay, so all the other stuff that's in the world, we can't be that. Amen?
Amen.
When I was in prison for righteousness' sake, I wanted to be a bird so I can fly over the prison walls. That never happened either. We want all kinds of things, but don't want anything but to be a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
Wanting something doesn't mean that you're good. If you just, I just want people to be nice and I want them to go to heaven. What a good does that do you, what you want? If it's not wanting to walk in the Spirit, shouldn't want anything else. Amen? The bare fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, what else?
When we have seen this, we will naturally, in the light of the Holy Spirit...
Some people got their minds on basketballs. What, you going to reproduce basketballs? Footballs or baseball? What good is that? They all wind up on drugs or hormones or something, you know. And you see them, they got, look at my car here. You know, I got this car, that car, this car. Look at my big house and everything. And they don't even enjoy it because, you know, they don't feel at ease in a nice, you know, a huge mansion like that. And who would? Especially if he was raised out of the ghetto, one of these lean-to shacks or some tenement building. You know, where the supervisor is telling you what to do. And, you know, my God, get saved and you get right with the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, then what?
When we have seen this, we will naturally, in the light of the Holy Spirit, hate our flesh. At this time, the Holy Spirit will impress us with the fact of our being crucified with Christ. This impression, as vivid as a picture, causes us to see that our flesh, our old me or I or self, or our old man, has already been nullified on the cross of our Lord Jesus. The entrance of this life immediately produces a killing effect, which causes our old man, or our old I, me, or self, to become gradually paralyzed and withered, eventually losing its position and power.
Yeah, you're going to wither anyway, if you live long enough. You'll see that, what you think, pretty face, wither and turn into a prune. like a grape, a withered grape, a raisin, you know, and then what? Oh, my God, I should have lived my life for the Lord. When your heart is starting to miss beats and you're gasping for air, and you never did a blessed thing for the Lord. And then you start thinking of all the things that you did that you knew were wrong at the time you were doing it. And you did it because you didn't have the power of the Lord in you. Because you can't do anything without Him. Apart from Him, you can't do a thing spiritual. And so you better, because the Lord is coming back soon. It's the end time, and the whole country is invaded by Nazis. We're the worst. Hitler wanted to rule the whole world. Well, look at us, the United States. Now we're just going and smashing every nation and every leader and putting Catholics in charge of everything, and they're calling it democracy. Well, let me remind you that God is not a democracy. He's a theocracy. He's a dictator. And people better learn that now. And there's a few of us on earth that will remember it. Will remember to do that, and we will do it. The Bible says there's going to be millions of us. Amen? And so there already have been. And so Satan never got us. Not all of us. Okay? We're still standing and swinging. Now, these boxers, too, you know, they're just knocking people's brains out for Jesus. No, I like knocking the devil's brains out by walking in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Because the strongest man, the strongest woman on earth are those that are in the Spirit. Because the Spirit is God Himself in you, and there's nothing more powerful and nobody more powerful than God. Amen?
Amen.
So you've got it all when you've got God. So why do you want something that is lesser? Less than God. Okay, let's go.
Then all the fleshly elements in our practical living will automatically be exterminated. The more we allow the light of the Holy Spirit to shine within us, the more the old I, me, or self, or the old man, loses its grip or position, and all the fleshly elements in our living gradually diminish and disappear. At this time, we will have a little subjective experience in the matter of dealing with the flesh through the death of the cross. However, our dealing with the flesh must not stop here. In our fellowship with the Lord and through the Holy Spirit who dwells within us and causes us to partake of the death of the Lord, we must apply the putting to death of our flesh and its expression time after time, step after step. This is our application of the death of the cross through the Holy Spirit. This is also what Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 and 25 speaks about, the subjective experience of crucifying the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof through the Holy Spirit.
Right, it's just subjecting ourselves unto the Word, the Spirit, and the will of God. And totally abandoning the world, forsaking the world. Okay, we take the things that the Lord allows us to have in the world to use for Him to win people to the spiritual world realm. Amen.
Amen.
And there's a lot of things that the Lord doesn't let us partake or use in the world. But the world belongs to the Lord and us. Okay. Not to the people that are the secular leaders of the world. It doesn't belong to them at all. Okay, then what?
Because we give Him the opportunity, the ground, and our cooperation, the Holy Spirit within us will enable us to put our flesh to death so that we may live the life God wants us to live and do the things that God wants us to do.
So that will actually be the things that God wants us to do, is to just die out and let Him do the work in us. Amen?
Amen.
So that it's the work of God, not us. Amen?
Amen.
And I mean, you could be saying something, but and the words that you say may very well win somebody's soul. But it could be that you're just polyparroting a message. And is it really the Holy Spirit speaking? Because the one that the Lord is really after in the crowd may not be getting anything, and you'll be getting a lot of amens and praise the Lord and hallelujah, but it's of the flesh as well. Because even though you're saying something that it could be truth, it's still to the person that the Lord is after, it's by the letter, unless it's the Holy Spirit talking through your mouth. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to be careful that it's not just you talking, that you have to surrender so much that the Holy Spirit is able to talk through you. Amen? Mm-hmm. Then people recognize this is the Lord. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Then what?
At this time, not only will we live by the Holy Spirit, but also walk by the Holy Spirit. Then we will no longer be fleshly, but spiritual. We must always examine ourselves regarding the process of dealing with the flesh.
Right, every moment of every day. Lord, now what do you want me to say to this person? Do you want me to renege on this? Do you want me to buy this property or buy this type of food or eat this kind of meal or what is it? You know, be concerned about what the Lord wants in his body. Know you not that you are the temple of God? It's God's body and you don't belong to yourself? Do what he wants, amen? But I want ice cream or I want pie or I want, you know, butter and cheese and beef. Other things. Well, you know, let's ask the Lord first. Amen? Then what?
Do we really see the objective fact? Do we ever let the Holy Spirit impress this fact into us? How much subjective experience do we have?
I mean, how much time during the day do you really ask, subject yourself to the Lord and ask him what you should do and actually get an answer back from him? Because he knows that you're really coming to him from your heart, from the bottom of your heart. How often have you done that? Most people, I think, not at all. Then what else?
How often do we apply the death of the cross in our practical way of living? After we strictly examine ourselves, we can be clear regarding the degree to which we have attained in our spiritual death, our experience of walking in the Spirit, and look to the Lord for his further leading, guidance, and direction. The process of dealing with the flesh, which I have mentioned, cannot be thoroughly experienced in a short period of time. We need to go deeper, step by step. Many items of the flesh are not recognized in the beginning. We don't see them. Therefore, we have no way to deal with them if we can't see them. We can't fight things that we can't see. It is not until our spiritual experience grows deeper that we gradually are able to see or recognize all the different fleshly things that need further dealing with. Therefore, in our dealing with the flesh, we deal firstly with the corrupted aspects that we know, and then with the good aspect of the flesh. Finally, we put our whole being under the death of Christ and deal completely with the flesh.
Yeah, both the good and the bad, what we think is good and the bad, that the Lord says is bad and good. The Spirit tells us what to do. Amen?
Amen.
And what not to do. All right, this is Pastor Tony Alamo, and we've had the ninth in the series of dealing with the flesh, or our flesh. And so until chapter 26, and until the tenth in the series of dealing with the flesh, this is Tony Alamo, pastor, and I want to be your pastor if I'm not already, saying praise the Lord and good evening. Lord bless you. And I'm going to be doing a series on dealing with self, Because the self and the flesh are two different things. Amen?
Amen.
And you don't say. So until chapter 26 and until the 10th in the series of Dealing with the Flesh, this is Tony Alamo, pastor. And I want to be your pastor, if I'm not already, saying praise the Lord and good evening. Lord bless you.